Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven came down and glory filled my
soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received.
Heaven came down.
Washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen, amen, amen. Glory be to God. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, your soul, our soul. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're all doing well. It's Friday, March the 10th, and we're finishing up this series entitled God with You in the Gauntlets of Life. The Gauntlets of Life. The scripture text is Isaiah 43:2, and it reads, God speaking to his people, he says, when you passeth through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, what a precious promise you give us here in this text. It is ours to own. It is ours to possess. It is ours to confess. Whenever we're running the gauntlet, whenever we find ourselves in a tough situation, whenever our backs are up against the wall, whenever we're going through a tough season, you are with us. You are with us in the gauntlet. We do not run the gauntlet alone. The ever-present God is with his child. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts again. Every day when we come on the air, we yield to you, O Spirit of Christ. Have your way. Mold us. Build us up in the faith. Encourage us. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Well, we're down to the last portion of the text, the portion that is in blue, and it reads, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We considered that yesterday very briefly, as we saw how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fiery furnace. Their hair was not singed. Have you ever singed a chicken? You know, back in the day on the homestead, when we would dedicate a whole morning to slaughtering chickens. And, you know, each person in the family had their job. One person, you know, cut the throat or however you do it. Some twisted the neck until the chicken died. And then another was dunking the chicken in the hot water. And then they would pass the chicken down and someone would pluck the feathers. And then someone would pass, after plucking the feathers, you would pass the chicken down to the next person whose job it was to singe the hairs. You know, chickens have hairs. And have you ever smelled singed hair? It's not a pleasant smell. And then once the hairs were singed, then you would pass it down to the next person and they would gut it, they would butcher it and chop it up and put it into different kinds of bags. And that was the process. It was my father had this conveyor belt, you know, and each one of his kids was doing something. We were all, every one of his kids was employed doing something that morning. And none of us like to singe the chickens. Not one of us, because that was an awful smell. It was awful. And that's it. So here the text says, or in Daniel chapter 3, it said that when they came out of the fiery furnace, not one of their hairs was singed. They had no smell of smoke on their clothing. None of their clothing was burned, not even a little bit. And so it says, when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We talked yesterday, and we talked about how when you pass through the waters, that's Egypt. And when you go through the rivers, that's Canaan. And when you walk through the fire, that's Babylon. That's Babylon. You know, and each one of these stops, whether it's Egypt or whether it's Canaan or whether it's Babylon, each one of these terms, each one of these places metaphorically represents a stop on your earthly pilgrimage. And so the people of God find themselves where? In Babylon. But also the people of God may find themselves in another stop, which is Rome. And we're going to get to that in a minute. So look at the picture on page 3. Look at the picture. There is what? There is King Nebuchadnezzar. You can see him pointing towards the fiery furnace, and there are three Hebrews in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The one standing behind them is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, whom Nebuchadnezzar said, and the angel of God, well, the angel is messenger. And they can't believe it. They can't. And Nebuchadnezzar says, let it be known. Let the whole world know that no God can deliver like their God. The God of the Hebrews is the God who can deliver. Notice the confession coming out of the mouth of a pagan king. He had to confess what the evidence demonstrated, that no God can deliver like the God of Abednego and Meshach. And so there you have it. God can deliver. Now, in the future, in the New Testament, another name for Rome was Babylon. Let's go to 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. Peter's first epistle. And let's go to the last chapter of 1 Peter. And I'm turning there myself, so if you catch up to me, you're doing good. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, this is what Peter says. He says, the church that is in Babylon, or the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, or sends you salutation, as doth my spiritual son Marcus, or John Mark. So notice, the church that is at Babylon. Well, Babylon was code at the time of Peter and at the time of Paul. Babylon was code for Rome, the city of Rome. So think about it. When you pass through the waters, that's Egypt. And you go through the rivers, that's Canaan. And when you go through the fire, that's Babylon. And the flame shall not kindle upon thee. I would suggest to you, which is stage four of the gauntlet, that would be, we can suggest, that could be Rome. So notice, the church that is at Babylon salutes you. So Peter was using Babylon because in the first century, everyone used Babylon for Rome, because Rome, the city of Rome, the capital city of Rome, where the Caesars ruled, was just as confusing, was such a confusing place. Things that should have been up were down, and things that should have been right were left, and Rome was as confusing in her day as Babylon was in Nebuchadnezzar's day. And so you can say the same of New York City. New York City is the economic capital of the world, the fashion capital of the world, the news capital of the world. And New York City is a modern-day Babylon, a modern-day Rome, a modern-day Canaan, a modern-day Egypt. It is just as confusing as those previous four places back in the days of the Bible. New York City, that's right. A messed up place. And so when you are going through the gauntlet, notice there's different stops, different stages of the gauntlet. God will prevent you from what? From being hurt. Now, let me take you to Paul's epistle to the Romans. Now that we know that Babylon is a of Rome and Rome is a type of Babylon, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to show you that the promise that God makes to you, you know, God promises to love you. Your election, your selection to be saved was based on God's love for you. The fact that God sent his son was all based on love, for God so loved the world. So notice, here in Romans 8, 31 through 39, you will see that it begins with the love of God and the chapter ends with the love of God. Okay, so let's look at Romans 8, 31. We're going to start there and we're going to end at verse 39. Now let's read together. Thus beginneth the reading of God's precious word.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
You see, what can we say to all of the things previously said? God be for us. If God is on your side, on my side, if God is running with you and I through the gauntlet, how can we not make it over to the other side? Of course we'll make it. At the moment, the gauntlet is trying. At the moment, the gauntlet is scary. At the moment, the gauntlet would cause us to have second thoughts. But if God be for us, and he is, and he always will be, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, the gauntlet has two lines. On both sides, you're hated. On both sides, they're armed. On both sides, they just can't wait to take their shots at you. But if God be for us, who can be against us? So let's read verse 32.
He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Listen, you got God the Father cheering you. You got Jesus interceding for you in heaven. And you got the Holy Spirit interceding for you on earth. Think about that. The whole Trinity is on your side. God the Father is on your side. Jesus is interceding for you. He ever lives, says the book of Hebrew, to make intercession for us. And, you know, the Bible says here in Romans 8, even when you don't know what to pray for, it is the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us with groanings which can't be uttered. We have it made. So you're going through the gauntlet. So you're going through a rough patch. So your days are dark and gloomy. Soon the darkness will be dispelled. The sun will soon appear. The birds will start singing again. And everything will be as they were before your dark season. So let's continue reading here now at verse number 35. Because here is an amazing question. Verse 35.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
There it is. There's the amazing question. Who? Who can separate us from Christ's love? That's how it begins. Christ's love, the love that Jesus has for you, the love that Jesus has promised for you, will never allow him to be separated from you or you to be separated from. You never get separated from Jesus. I remember one time as a little boy, I must have been about 3 or 4, my parents went to Coney Island, and some way, somehow, I don't know, I started to wander away, and my parents didn't notice, and I got lost on that big beach, and all I could see was sand and seagulls and people, and then someone asked me, you know, where's your parents, and I said, I don't know, and they took me to a police officer, and finally, a police officer found my parents, found my mom and dad, and they were terrified. Where did you go? I don't know. I just took my little bucket, my little sand shovel, and my little bucket, and I started walking, and you know, got distracted, and I got separated. Get separated. But you listen, in Jesus, you never get separated. Because Jesus knows where you are all the time, unlike my parents who didn't know where I was. They didn't know where I was. They were scared. My mother was crying. And when they grabbed me, they kissed me and they hugged me and, oh, little, where did you go? I was just got distracted, kept walking, kept using my little feet to just, you know. And before you know it, there I was, surrounded by a plethora, a myriad of people, and noisy. The beach is noisy. People having fun. Beach balls flying. Seagulls everywhere. And people are big. I'm looking up, and I'm a little tiny guy, and everybody's big around me. And before you know it, that you know, I'm lost, and I'm really lost. Really lost. Got separated. And although my parents loved me, there was nothing they can do. But that doesn't happen between us and God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. He knows where we are at every single moment. So let's continue reading, because now Paul enumerates all the things. He begins to enumerate to the Romans all the things possibly attempt to separate us.
Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So there you have it in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul begins to enumerate, and when he finishes, he says nothing. When you go through the gauntlet, you're not by yourself. Nothing can ever separate you. It's like nothing can ever separate you from your shadow. Think about it. You have a permanent shadow. You never lose. Try losing your shadow. Just try running away from your shadow. It's an impossibility. And so it is with the Lord. You can't run away from the Lord, even if you tried, even if you wanted to. Even if some way, somehow, you thought I and the Lord got separated, it could never happen. Never. Nothing can separate us. So when you're going through the gauntlet, you're probably having a pity party, and you're crying, and you're sitting down at the foot of your bed, and you have your head in your knees, and you're just so distraught, so heartbroken, so, you're just falling apart. And you're saying, woe is me. I'm all by myself. Nothing can be further from the truth. Christ is ever with you. The Holy Spirit is ever with you. The Father is ever with you and with me. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. And here is Paul. Now, he was writing to the church of Rome, which is the church in Babylon. And here now Paul is a prisoner in Rome, which is Babylon. And this is what he says. And I we're going to conclude with this. We're going to conclude the series with this text. We're starting at 2 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Now, Paul had to go to court. He had been arrested. He had had to appear before Caesar. And here he is, and he's abandoned. Remember, he wrote a letter to the Romans. Did any of the Roman saints, did any of the Roman Christians show up to court to lend them some level of support? Uh-uh. No. Let's read. Starting at verse 16 of chapter 4.
At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them.
So he says, when I went to court, no man, not one Christian, who received the epistle to the Romans, I was so blessed by that letter that Paul wrote to us. Not one of those people that had received the letter and was blessed by it, not one of them showed up at court. Not one. They all forsook him. That's the terminology. But all men forsook me. And he says, God, don't put that on their ledger. Now, look at verse 17. Because men will forsake you. But look what Paul says in verse 17. This is the difference between men and God. Here it is.
But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
Oh, like Daniel, who was put into the lion's den in Babylon, Paul, too, was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Why? Because the Lord stood with him. See, in verse 16, all men forsook me, notwithstanding. Contrary to their action, the Lord never left me alone. I was never separated from the love of Christ, which is promised, but also the love of Christ that was present. You see, God promises us his love, and then his love is present when you're going through the gauntlet in his person. Because Christ is the embodiment of love. So notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I wasn't alone. He was right there with me, and he strengthened me. And what happened? He delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. I, too, like Daniel, was delivered out of the mouth of lion, this time from a future Babylon, which is Rome. And then look at verse 18.
And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
And there you have it. God shall deliver me from every evil work, or let's put it this way. God will deliver me from every gauntlet I have to run through. Every gauntlet. The fire shall not kindle upon thee. The fire will have no effect. The fire, listen, the fiery darts that Satan is shooting your way shall not kindle upon thee. You know, in those old cowboy and Indian movies, the Indians used to light up their arrows and shoot them at the wagons. Remember when the wagons would circle? Made out of cloth, and those wagons would catch fire. Well, God says, listen, no fiery dart Satan throws your way shall be kindled upon thee. They won't catch fire. They'll be neutralized. They'll be made of no effect. And God shall preserve you and I to his heavenly kingdom. We shall be escorted to heaven, having lost nothing, because it is God who runs the gauntlet. No matter where you're at, if you're at Egypt, God is with you. If you're about to go through Canaan, he'll be with you. If you find yourself currently today in Babylon, he'll be with you. If you find yourself today making your way through Rome, he'll be with you. He shall preserve you, because he has promised to love you, and he has promised to be there when you're going through your troubles. Well, that'll do it for today. I hope the series was a blessing. It's certainly a blessing to me. I am so, let me tell you, I am so fired up that we're going to close this series with another song from George Beverly Shea, entitled Filled Soul. It's a short song. Listen to the song. Let God fill your soul. God bless you.
Wonders wrought. This is my
rustling grass, I hear him ask. He speaks to me everywhere. And earth and